Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
On today's show, Lisa Jane Jones shares how her passion for happiness led to forgiveness.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have from the UK, Lisa Jane Jones. Now, she's a life coach who specializes in happiness and positive psychology. And Lisa Jane, I know that happiness is a personal passion of yours. So first, I'd like to welcome you to the show here.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's an absolute honor and a pleasure.
Now, you know that we kick off the show with a quote, and I know that you brought one for us today.
I actually brought two.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm that cheeky. Mm-hmm. My first one is, life is like a climbing frame. To get to the top, you must start at the bottom. Sometimes you fall off, but then you just have to get right back on again. The second one is something that's very kind of like my mantra, if you will. It's happiness brings success, not the other way around.
Very good. I agree with that too, because success doesn't bring happiness. We hopefully are wise enough to know this by now.
So, yeah.
Tell me, first of all, what does happiness mean to you? Can you define that?
Define happiness. Well, I think it means different things for different people. I think that's what a lot of these self-help books, it seems to, why people struggle with these self-help books quite a lot, because people are trying to define happiness, but it means completely different things to different people. You know, my best friend, defining happiness for her would be going out shopping, you know, for shoes and handbags and things like that. That makes her happy. Whereas that's my idea of sheer hell. You know, that's not something that would make me feel happy. So it's so different for so many different people. And it's being able to tap into what just makes you feel alive and what brings you joy and what brings you bliss, because it's so different for everybody else.
What would you say brings you happiness?
What brings me happiness? Spirituality brings me happiness, and my family brings me happiness, and helping people. I get a lot of fulfillment from helping other people.
How did this become a passion of yours?
Oh, well, it's actually quite a depressing story.
for a happiness podcast.
yeah, for a happiness podcast. So I'll try not to dwell on it too much, but I'd actually suffered quite a series of traumatic events in my life, one after another, for about 5 years. And, you know, things like relationship breakdowns, there was a child custody case, losing family members, domestic violence, drug and alcohol abuse, things like that. And this went on for 5 years. It was like just a spiral of just horrible things happening. And it was a really dark and depressing time, and extremely emotionally draining. And obviously it got too much and depression hit. And I didn't know I had depression at the time. There was a lot of pressure on my partner at the time because he became my emotional crutch. I forgot how to be happy because I'd been surrounded with all this negativity for so long. And I was just living in this negative bubble. I'd forgotten completely how to be happy, and I relied completely on him to make me happy. One thing after another, and that relationship broke down because there was so much pressure on him. I found myself 6 months pregnant with my third child and alone because, like I said, the relationship broke down. And I didn't know how to get myself out of this depressive slum. For one, I didn't know I had depression. And it was extremely dark. You know, it was a really dark time. But how I actually started to get out of that depression slum was actually through meditation. somebody suggested meditation for me for insomnia, because I was suffering with insomnia with the last three months of my pregnancy. And I was like, oh no, meditation, that's not for me. Because this is before I became, you know, my spiritual journey had really taken off. So I was like, oh no, meditation, I can't be doing with that, you know, can't be doing. But I did it and I stuck with it. And it took me a good 3 months to learn how to meditate, you know, properly. But this began to do something to me, and it kind of woke me up a little bit, and I was connecting with myself on a much higher level. At the time, I didn't know what this thing was called, but obviously I know now that this is connecting to a higher self and higher state of consciousness. And this is where my spiritual journey started. And then I started reading lots of books on happiness and things like that. And it just kind of progressed into getting into the, not just the spiritual side, but the scientific side of spirituality and happiness and neurology as well, believe it or not. I actually, you know, I study neurology quite a lot. And that's where it started. And then all of a sudden I started to heal myself through learning about positive psychology and happiness and things like that. And then I kind of realized that I need to be telling other people about this. You know, it was kind of like as if this was my calling. I'd gone through all of those dark, horrible times to get me to where I was right then, where I am now, you know, so that I could tell people, this is how you do it. This is, if you're feeling low and unhappy and unfulfilled, this is how you do it. And that's how I got where I am now, really.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me because, you know, we're always talking on this show about life being a process.
Yeah.
And if you didn't experience that for a prolonged period of time, life wouldn't have directed you into, you know, the realm of discovering how to be happy and then how to teach that to people.
Yeah, exactly. And it was definitely, it was almost like one event after another, synchronicities were just leading me to where I am now. And it was just, everything was just happening in perfect timing. You know, I was reading a certain book exactly when I needed it. And, you know, I was meeting different people when I needed to meet them. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, I went through all that rubbish time to get me exactly where I am so that I can help other people. I went through that so I can help other people and get them through it.
It all makes such perfect sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It does.
And the thing is that, you know it's a passion when you are seeking out the learning for yourself,
yeah.
You know? What kind of hesitations or challenges have you had moving into this direction, though?
Well, a big thing for me, one of the greatest challenges I had was forgiveness. Trying to forgive those people that had hurt me and had caused me the original pain. You know, I was reading all these books and they were saying, forgive, forgive, forgive. You know, that's how you move on and things like that. But it's like, well, how? How do you forgive somebody or a situation that had hurt you so badly? And I can remember reading this one line and it said, forgive others the same way that you would like to be forgiven if you had done something wrong. And it made me kind of stop and think, and I kind of had this little epiphany during a meditation, and it made me be able to step into the shoes of the other person that had hurt me, to see things through their side, understand what they were going through, what they must have felt, what they must have seen, and, you know, how their life was at that time. And it just opened up my eyes completely. It just made me kind of see everything in such a different way, you know, and it made me kind of realize, wow, yeah, this is, you know, this is obviously how they were feeling. So I was able to kind of see my actions as well and kind of see, well, this is how they saw how I was acting. So that's why they acted the way they were acting. And it was easier to forgive their actions in that way.
Well, it sounds like it taught you empathy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, to see through the other person's eyes. But you know what's so hard about that? And I don't know. Tell me what you think, because I think we all struggle with this. Mm. When somebody does us wrong, to forgive is so difficult, especially, let's say, okay, you can look through what you believe is their eyes and what they were thinking and feeling.
Mm.
And you can say, okay, that justifies why they would behave the way they do, and I can forgive them for that. But what about when a piece of you in the back of your head just can't get rid of the fact that they don't see it as wrong?
Then that you still have to forgive, because forgiveness isn't necessarily to make the other person feel better. It's about making you feel better. So even if they don't feel that they've done anything wrong, then that's their thing to deal with, and that doesn't concern you in your life where you are right now. You know, so say for instance, you know, I'd put myself in that situation now with my ex-partner who hurt me. If he still didn't think that there was anything wrong, then that's not having an impact in my life right now, because he's not in my life right now. But I can still forgive him for the things that he did and the things that I did as well to make, you know, the situation bad.
And I think, though, for some people, those people are still in their lives, you know? It's a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle for all of us, I think.
It is, definitely. And it's not something that you can just you can just say, oh, I forgive them, and then just move on. You know, it's a work in progress that, you know, that you have to keep going with, really. It's something that you have to continue to work with.
And I think, just like you said, you can read something a million times, but one of those times something is going to click because you have new information or a new understanding that brings it into a different light for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what was happening with me, you know, through meditation, especially. I know it sounds really funny calling it an epiphany, but these were the things that were happening, things that were bugging me in my head that I just couldn't let go of or that I couldn't understand. And, you know, I would really go into a deep meditation, and then it would just be like, boom, there's the answer. Wow.
Meditation has been new for me this year, and I agree 100% with you.
I honestly say that meditation really did save my life, you know, because if I hadn't got into meditation, then I don't think I would have gone through the whole spiritual journey and being able to connect with myself again, you know. So it's self-love and self-care is so important, and we get that from meditation and, you know, visualizations and things like that. And it should be everybody's priority, really, you know, to do that.
Yeah, I think it's all supposed to be a balance, you know, self-care and also spirituality, and all of those things are relationships with others, and it's all intertwined, and keeping a balance, finding a balance, it's all a challenge, but I think it's all part of our learning process while we're here, and it's all equally important.
Yeah, definitely. It really is. It really is.
What do you think you've learned about yourself through all of this?
I've definitely learned that letting go of toxic people is okay. You know, those people that you just don't vibe with, or the people that, you know, the energy vampires that just suck the happy vibe straight out of you. It's okay to let these people go. And it's not selfish at all to let, you know, if somebody's no longer serving you in a positive way, then it's okay to let them go. Because like I said, your happiness needs to be your priority. And if toxic people are in your life, then you're not going to be happy. And also listening to my intuition, that's a big thing that I've learned. Again, through meditation, I've learned how to connect with my intuition and how to follow it. Understanding that those gut feelings that you feel are there for a reason and that you should follow them. Since I've done that, you know, my life has just flown beautifully, you know, following the path of least resistance, as they say. And I've spent a lot of time, you know, I've spent a lot of time quieting my mind and just letting my thoughts open up and come through me. And this is where I find a lot of my answers, like I said before, those little epiphanies, you know. So, letting go of toxic people and intuition is something that I've learned a lot about myself.
Yeah, I think surrendering in general, and I've talked so many times on the show before about how sometimes we feel like we need to control everything. And it's like if we just let go and surrender and allow things to surface.
Yeah, definitely. Because I suppose I did used to be a bit of a control freak where I did have to control everything. And when I lost control, I think that's obviously where my depression hit me. And then I couldn't get out of it. So it was like, again, I wasn't in control and I didn't like it. But then, like, once I surrendered to that and sort of said, it's okay, it's okay, then everything just started to flow.
So it sounds like you've read a lot of books on different subjects. If people are sitting out there right now, they're listening to us and they're saying, I'm taking in what you're putting out. How can they further research what we're talking about? What book or resource would you suggest?
Okay, I have two. I have a book. This book literally changed my life. And it's called The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama and Howard C. Cutler. I actually stumbled across this book just by sheer accident. Well, no, actually, it was synchronicity, not accident.
That's right.
It was actually the first book I'd ever read in my life. Because I have dyslexia, really bad dyslexia. So reading has always been an absolute chore, never a pleasure. And the fact that I'd seen this book and I was like, bam, I'm going to buy it. I was like, why am I buying a book? I don't like reading. But as soon as it came, it didn't leave my hand for 3 days. And I just absorbed every single word that it had. And that is the book that kind of made me go, right, this is for me. This is what I need to be learning more about. I need to be learning more about the art of happiness. So if anybody wants a good read, then that is definitely one.
So did you end up reading more after that? Or do you listen to audible.com or...
I go through about a book a week, which is amazing because, like I said, I'd never read a book before in my life before this time. You should see how many books I have. It's like a library in my house now. I'm constantly buying different books. A lot of them are reference books as well. They're not kind of story books as such. They're reference books on, NLP or different things like that, kind of, or spirituality and things like that. I just love right. meditation and mindfulness and everything.
So they're personal improvement books, and NLP for everybody is neuro-linguistic programming, which is, coaching philosophies and things like that.
Which I couldn't even say when I first got my NLP book. I was like, how do I even say that? Let alone read it. How's a dyslexic girl supposed to read a book like this? But hey, I read it and it was obviously meant for me because I just absorbed that up.
Okay, so this part of the show, Motivate Me, Express to Success, in order for people to act, I believe they need to first envision it, explore it, and then execute a plan. So what should somebody envision for themselves if they want to become happier?
Okay, well, to see themselves there. Okay, this is all about the envision. It's visualization. So to see themselves happy, to feel, to let that feeling of happiness come into their lives and let it become bigger and stronger and more colorful. See what they want to see themselves as in the future. And this exercise should be done on a daily basis where they go into, I suppose they could go into a deep meditation and kind of just visualize how they want to see themselves, see themselves as that happy person again, and just let all those feelings just come up and everything like that. And once they've been doing this for long enough, it's no longer a visualization, then it will start to become a reality. And those feelings will start to come in during the day without having to think about being happy. And it just starts to progress nicely like that.
So to explore this for themselves then?
Within themselves. I think... exploring some of the greatest advice and lessons that we have definitely come from ourselves, like we've said before, within meditation. We all have lessons in life to learn, and it's a personal thing. Life is a personal journey, so we all have our individual lessons and our individual questions and things like that, and a lot of those things come from within us. We just have to, like you said, surrender and just let those answers come in. Also, obviously, finding a great leader or a mentor or a coach, somebody that you resonate with, somebody that speaks the same language as you, follow them, connect with them, and just devour every little bit of knowledge that this person passes on. I think that's, that's something that you can, and it can be anything from, a Facebook page that you follow or a podcast or anything at all. If it resonates with you, just absorb it all, just let it all flow in.
So to execute a plan then, what do you think the first step would be?
Right. Okay. Well, there's There's four things that I often teach when it comes to the very first step of increasing your happiness, and it's gratitude, compassion, non-judgmental, and forgiveness. And obviously gratitude, be grateful every morning and every night for everything that you have, but everything that you don't have as well, and say thank you for everything. I try and get people to, my clients and things like that, to have a gratitude diary. So they write every day what they've been grateful for. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. You know, it could be that they were grateful that it wasn't raining when they had to pop to the shop to get milk, you know, anything to increase that gratitude. The second one, compassion. Understanding that, you know, the suffering of other people, understand that everybody that we meet has their own life story, they have their own pain. So, you know, that rude and obnoxious person that you always seem to get served by at the local shop, you know, they have their own story too, which is probably one tainted with pain and suffering, and that is what's causing them to act in not so friendly way. So treat them with compassion and understanding. The third one, being non-judgmental. Again, you know, don't judge other people for the actions that they take or the choices that they make. Again, you know, they have their own story. We all act differently in different situations, and that's okay. You know, so showing compassion and being non-judgmental. Understanding that we see and experience things totally differently. So what's right for one person won't be right for the next person. And understanding that that's okay. The last one, forgiveness, which is the hardest one, I think. Forgiving those who might have hurt you or caused you negativity. Many people do struggle with forgiveness. And they feel that because the other person has caused them so much pain that they almost don't forgive they don't deserve their forgiveness. And again, like I've said before, if you start to feel like this, then step into the other person's shoes and try to see the world from their point of view and try to understand what they were seeing, hearing, and feeling. And that will open up a new level of understanding and really will help you to forgive.
Excellent advice. Excellent. Now, you know, you told us about a huge shift in your life from really a place of darkness to light. What kind of closing thoughts would you like to leave us with today?
To truly feel and appreciate happiness, we must at some point feel the opposite, like sadness and hurt and pain. It's like that saying, to appreciate the warmth of the summer sun, we have to feel the coldness of winter. So understand that we have some of our most powerful lessons in life during the darkest times. These lessons are necessary for our own personal growth. They give us a chance to awaken that little bit more and so that we can embrace what we have learned from them. If something has caused you pain or something has caused you a challenging period in your life, just say thank you and allow it in. This gives it, you know, these situations give us the greatest gift. They give us the opportunity to learn and to grow. And we cannot practice such things as forgiveness and tolerance if we're not given the opportunity to do so. So all those things that have hurt us and annoyed us and made us angry are the perfect opportunity for us to master these skills, which will increase our own happiness. It's everybody's birthright to be happy, and there is nothing selfish about working on your own happiness. Making your own happiness your top priority should be your number one goal. Everybody seems to have these goals where they're aimed at external things, such as increasing money or getting a new car or a promotion and things like that. But they completely forget about our happiness, which is our most precious thing that we have. So make it your number one goal to work on. Happiness brings success, not the other way around, as we say.
I want to thank you so much for coming on. It really was an eye-opener, I'm sure, for many of us listening. So thank you so much, Lisa Jane.
Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
What contact information can we share for you? I know you're a part of Motivate Me Ultimate Support System, our private group on Facebook.
Yeah, I am indeed. I also have Facebook and Twitter, which is my business name, which is Holistic Honeys, which is the honeys is actually spelled HONNIES. It's not a typo because I'm dyslexic. I did actually mean it to spell like that. So yeah, I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, and also I have a website as well that people can contact me on. My email is info@holistichoneys.com as well.
So. Okay, and your website is holistichoneys.com.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so I'll make sure to include all of that information in our show notes.
Thank you.
Now, this is the end of the show, and we give everybody a go-do here. Mm-hmm. So what would you like them to go do right now?
Okay, a random act of kindness. Okay, do something for somebody else that doesn't mean that you get a thank you for it, okay? So just do an absolute random act of kindness, preferably for a stranger, because you're less likely to get a thank you then, and just rinse and repeat this as often as possible.
Yes, because doing kind acts make us happy.
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah.
That's the end of the show. Thank you so much, Lisa Jane.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And remember, everybody, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.